All right, well, we're going to be in John chapter 10 tonight. John chapter 10. I want you to kind of think in a little bit of a different way tonight through this message. Is there anywhere that you've ever just always wanted to go? Like maybe if you, I don't know if it's a bucket list item, but if you could go, somebody said, we'll pay a ticket to wherever. Where would you go? Miss Mona? Israel? Yep. Alex would go to Israel. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Anybody else? Anything? Nowhere? Where?
Arizona.
All right. No, not too far. All right. So Arizona, maybe Israel. I think Israel would be a really neat place to be, but I've already been to Arizona. So that's why I would say that. But, you know, Israel would be a beautiful place to go. I had many of the, probably about half of my college professors had been to Israel, and the stories they would tell in connection with the stories of the Bible is just amazing. But tonight I want to preach a message entitled Abundant Life in a Thieves' World. Abundant Life in a Thieves' World. And as we go through this message tonight, I want you to imagine just for a little bit, I'm not dumbing God down to this point, but I want you to imagine a salesman, okay? And here's God's word. And he is advertising for you to be saved and enter into his kingdom, okay? What he's willing to offer, how much it's going to cost, and what we have to do to get there. Basically, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but imagine you're reading through a brochure. We do have a brochure, right, of God's word tonight of how to get to heaven and how to live an abundant life. If we look in the world around us, there's no peace, is there? Well, constantly. Art and I were just talking a little bit tonight about just America. There's no peace here, is there? There's so much confusion and just a mess, right? But the Lord, Jesus Christ, wants us to live an abundant life through him, right? We don't have to be covered up in what all is going on in the world, but we can live abundant life through him. You know, tonight the world wants to steal our joy, but Christ wants to fulfill it. And each of us as Christians should portray it. And if we're not Christians tonight, we should accept it, right? Simple as that. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much just for the abundant life you desire to give to us. Lord, you've given it to us. And I pray that you would help us to live each day of our life in remembrance of what you have given us. And Lord, if there be one here tonight that's not accepted that, I pray that you'd work in their heart as well to see them saved for your glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So if I was here to this morning or this evening and I was saying, I want to introduce you to someone, someplace, I want a way to get you to Israel, right? This is how you're going to do it. This is my plan. Maybe to Arizona. Maybe I would say, well, your first question would be, how much is it going to cost me? Right? That'd be right off the bat. And the first thing we see here is the payment. All right. You're here in John chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, this is Jesus speaking, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amazing, is it not? This evening, God wants to give us life more abundantly, right? There's many people who want to steal parts of our life. They want to steal our joy. They want to steal everything in our life. But God wants to give us a life that's just more abundant, right? It's not just this life here on earth, but a more abundant life. This abundant life does not come free. We find that it must be paid for. Romans 6 and verse 23 says what? For the wages of sin is death. Because I have sinned, there's a payment for this abundant life, right? I remember I was on my way, is actually with Alyssa's dad. He was my boss before he was my father-in-law. We were on our way to his house to cut some firewood, and I was following behind him in North Carolina, and he was cruising along very rapidly. And I was trying to keep up with him, follow after him. We went through this school section, right, where the speed limit slowed down. And I didn't realize it was actually the middle, like it wasn't actual schools in session right then. So I kept on cruising right behind him. He was going pretty rapid, and so I was going pretty rapid. I was going maybe five over the normal speed limit, but mind you, that was 15 over what it should have been right at this time. And I remember as I was cruising along, I looked in, well, I passed a policeman and somebody was right, I had a friend right beside me. We're going to go cut wood at his house there. And he looked at me and said, you know, we just passed a policeman. And I thought, oh no. But I was like, I should be fine. I wasn't really speeding or anything. Well, the next thing I know, I see him pull out behind me. I look in my mirror, and there was a car in between me and him. And I was like, we're okay. He's just cruising along to somewhere else. And about that time, I see him cross the double yellow line, and he passes the car in front of him and comes up behind me. And, immediately your nerves are like, he's coming for me, right? He came up behind me, and I remember we got to a stoplight, and he was following closely. And I went left, and he went straight. And boy, was I thankful. But I was worried. Why? Because I knew I had done wrong. I had sped over the speed limit, and I deserved a ticket. I deserved a payment for that. And in our lives, we have sinned, right? I've sinned. I've done wrong before, and I should have to pay for what I've done wrong, okay? So this evening, to live this abundant life, we'd have to pay for it. We can't live it in our sin. But I want you to look here at verse 11 of chapter 10 here. This is Jesus still speaking. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ paid, he's paid for this abundant life. Look down at verse 15. It says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Look down at verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Jesus Christ came to us. He came to this earth, right? And he died on a cross for me. He died on a cross for you, right? He did it for us. He's already paid for it. You say, Caleb, how do I get this abundant life? It's free. This verse continues on. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift from God. He's already paid for it, right? That was just like if I would have gotten pulled over and would have gotten that ticket, and Alex came up and says, Caleb, I want to pay that ticket for you. And so he pays the ticket, maybe he pays to clear my license. He pays for it all, right? Be amazing. I'd be very grateful to Alex for paying that, right? But Jesus Christ paid for my sin. The things that I did wrong, I deserve to die on the cross, but Jesus Christ paid for it, right? It's already paid. So if I was here as a salesman this morning or this evening, I'd say, you don't have to pay for this abundant life, right? Christ has already paid for it. He's paid for this trip, right, in the abundant life. All we have to do is accept this gift to us for free, and God wants us to. We as Christians should praise the Lord Christ that he died for us. Isn't it amazing? Jesus Christ died for all of us, and how many times do we go through our lives forgetting about that, right? Jesus Christ died for me, right? He gave his life for me, and I go through life just forgetting about him, right? Not caring about him, and yet he gave his life for me. He's paid for this trip. So he sent me on this trip for abundant life, and here I am. Who cares about the Lord? But I should be praising him, should I not, for what he's done in my life. Jesus Christ died for the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Jesus Christ died for all each of us. All right, so you've got that out of the way, right? The payment is free. You can have this abundant life for nothing. Jesus Christ has already paid for it. All we have to do is accept him into our heart, and immediately we have that abundant life. Amazing, is it not? Okay, so there we see there's a payment, but then we're going to see the perks, okay? Every salesman has the perks. This is why you want to pay this price, right? This is why you want to go on this trip, Mona, to Israel, because these are the perks. This is what we're going to see, all right? As we're hearing these verses, look at verse 14 of chapter 10. It says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So Jesus Christ, he knows the sheep. We're the sheep, right? We're the ones he died for. He knows us. Look back at verse 4. It says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Okay, then look down at verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus Christ here, he didn't just die for the whole world. He didn't say, I'm just going to go save Art. I'm going to go save Alex and Rodney and save each of us here in this room. He didn't just say that, and then he just walked away. They're saved. They're going to live they're going to go to heaven. That's all they need to worry about. No, he's given us an abundant life. He says he knows his sheep, right? He knows Alex. He knows Dave. He knows us on a regular basis. When we hear his voice, we know who he is as well, do we not? By the Holy Spirit living in us. But we find that Christ not only paid for our lives, he wants to guide us through this life. Amazing, isn't it? He saved us, and here's just one of the perks. He wants to guide us through. Have you ever just been in a quandary about, well, what should I do in this situation, right? Sometimes I'll be indecisive about just little things, right? And I ask Alyssa, and she's like, just do that, right? It's just that simple. But how many times do we, in our lives, go to the Lord and say, Lord, what decision should I make? What should I do about this situation? How should I deal with this person? Or how should I deal with this area in my life? We just need to go to the Lord. He wants to guide us, right? He'll show us the way that we need to go. He'll give us the right directions. And it's not something that we need to worry about, even as we looked at this morning. Keep your place here in John. We'll come back. But 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's see here. Chapter 5 and verse 7. This is Jesus talking to us. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It doesn't say just for us to cast our care upon him because it's good for us, right? No, it says Jesus cares for us. Isn't that amazing? This evening, God cares for me, right? He cares for you. Not only did he save us, but now he cares about us, all right? Matthew chapter 11, and we'll see verse 28 here. Matthew 11 and verse 28. It says here, this is Jesus giving an invitation to the unsaved. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amazing, right? If we were looking at this brochure this evening of a salesman who is trying to sell perhaps salvation to us, okay, he would say, when you come unto the Lord, we can come unto him because we're heavy laden, right? Maybe we're worried about some things. Maybe there's a lot going on in our lives, but we can come unto the Lord and he gives us rest. Amazing. Is it not the peace in our heart that passes all understanding that God gives us? It's an open invitation. Christ wants to take the load off of us and allow us to rest in him. You know, this evening, will you come to him? Will you come to Christ as your Savior and give him your burdens, right? Just, Lord, take him, right? Give me this abundant life. But Christian, when is the last time you gave your burdens to him? Sometimes I think when we get saved, we take all of our burdens, right? Maybe we lay them on the altar and we say, whoo, that's just amazing, right? And we walk away from them. And then what is it? A month later, here we come back for them, right? You know, actually, I still need to worry about this, or I still need to be concerned about this. But that's not what God wants us to do. He's the same shepherd now as when we were saved, and he wants us to leave the burdens on him, right? Let him worry about it. Let him take care of it. And don't get me wrong, even as this morning, there's things that we have to go forward in. I'm not saying just sit in our seats and do nothing, right? But we don't need to worry about it. Let God take care of everything. Take care of all the details. When is the last time, Christian, that you gave your burdens to him? You know, and if it was today, maybe today you woke up this morning, you said, Lord, this is yours, or maybe throughout the day you've prayed it. When's the last time you thanked him for taking those things? Isn't it amazing what God has done for us? Not only has he saved us, but now he wants to take care of us, right? He wants to meet our needs. He wants to provide for our needs. And when maybe you've thanked the Lord this evening even, but does your face and actions reveal what Christ has done for us? Does our face reveal the abundant life that Christ has given us? You know, when we begin thinking about what God has done for me, what God has done for you, it was oftentimes we like to forget about it. We like to squander it. Maybe we get overwhelmed by the things that are going around us. But Jesus Christ died for us. He's taken care of us. So why should we walk around with a scowl on our face if God's doing great things for us? Right? We have no reason to be down. We have no reason to be discouraged. Many times we get discouraged. I get discouraged, right? Many times, why is this going this way? Or why? What's going on in the world around me? Or why is this person doing this? But the reality is, when I have my faith in Jesus, right? When I realize that he's given me this abundant life, he's led me all this way, it's his problem, then I should have the joy of the Lord upon me, should I not? It's amazing what God has done for me. It's amazing what he's done for you. And he wants to keep doing it. I just think, even for me, I'm preaching to myself tonight as well. It's easy for me just to get down in the dumps, to just be discouraged about the life around me. But Christ has done great things for us, has he not? And we should be able to act in that way. So, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have emotions. That's part of it too. If you read through Psalms, David had emotions, did he not? But many times he'd give it to the Lord, and then by the end he was rejoicing in the Lord. It's amazing, is it not, what Christ wants to do for us? So we see that there's a payment, okay? Christ has already paid it. It's free, all right? There's some perks. Jesus Christ, not only is he going to save us and give us a home in heaven, but he's also going to lead us along in this life, right? He wants to give us this abundant living. And then lastly, we find that there's a participation, okay? What is our part in this? What do we have to do? So far from what we've read, Christ has done it all, has he not? And so what's our job in this? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 17 here. Let's see. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This just even ties into what we were just talking about, right? When we are saved, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us, that old man is behind us now, right? Jesus Christ is taking care of all that. "Come unto me that are heavy laden." He's taking those burdens off of us. And now we are a new creature in him, right? He's given us this abundant life, and we need to make sure we don't go back to that old man, right? Let's not go back and hear what he has to say or start getting down about the things that he's struggling with, but let's go forward for Christ and be a new man for him, right? And not only that, it doesn't start there, but it begins in the mind. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, this is something that I don't think you ever stop working on, but it's something that continues forever and ever. Romans 12, and look at verse 12. This ties in with the previous verse we just read. Let's see here. That is not the correct, 12 verse 2, sorry, chapter 12 verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay, so it's not just that I take this body and I leave it behind, okay, and I walk away. I am a new creature. I am to do that. But also the world, remember the world of thieves and ones that want to steal our soul and body. Satan wants to take us to hell, right? He doesn't want us going to heaven. He doesn't want us serving the Lord. But we find that when we give our lives to the Lord, Christ wants us to live that abundant life. We have to change our mind, right? We have to no longer be conformed to this world. We no longer try to think like the world. We no longer try to think about even the old man, but we go forward for Christ, right? But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And who's going to do the transforming? Christ is he not? As he leads us, right? And so we want to continue on in this growth. It says that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? That's what we want to be doing in our lives. As Jesus Christ leads us on, as our shepherd leads us on, as we follow, we're proving that which is good and acceptable unto him, right? And immediately we are no longer being conformed to the world. We're no longer acting like the world, but we're being transformed. Our minds are changing towards God's, the things of God, right? As we follow after the shepherd, as we follow after what God has for our lives, we will prove his will over and over again. And we'll find that it's good and acceptable. And so, first of all, there's the payment, okay? There's no payment. We just have to accept it, right? It's literally just taking that gift and accepting it into our hearts. And when that happens, we find there's some pretty great perks, right? Jesus Christ is willing and waiting to lead us on, but what we have to do is choose to follow. All we have to do is choose to follow. And that's the participation. You know, Mona, there's going to be some great things we're going to look at, but if you never get on the plane, we can never go see those things, right? We're never going to be able to go see Israel. We're never going to be walked by the Sea of Galilee. But it's the same in our lives. If we accept Christ into our hearts, okay, we've accepted the free gift. And if I walk up to Christ leading me and I say, "No, I don't want anything to do with that," and I go back to the things of the world, am I going to be able to live the abundant life? I'm not. Right? Because I'm serving the things of the world. I'm being conformed to this world. But instead, I have to go over here and say, I accept these things. Lord, let me follow you. Right? It's not always going to be easy. But God wants us to follow him. And we find when we follow him, we'll have this abundant life. And that's what Christ wants to bring to us. Not only does he want to save us and be making us a home in heaven, which is amazing, right? He also wants to lead us right now. And like a shepherd, he wants to lead us through this life. Christians, we are not to conform to the world, rather to be transformed into the mind of Christ. In God's eyes, we're already in heaven, are we not? In God's eyes, when he asks Jesus about us, Jesus says, I've already paid for his sins, and he's on his way to heaven. Amazing, is it not? If we've asked Christ to come into our heart and to save us, we are on our way to heaven. But for now, we must prove God's will for our lives. Right now, we just have to wrap our mind and go after what God has for us. All right? So don't leave that old body behind. Stop being conformed to the world, but just go forward for the Lord. Right? And we'll find that we live this abundant life. All right, so my question for you tonight is, are you living in Christ's abundant life? Are you living in Christ's abundant life? He wants to give it to us. It's free. Maybe tonight you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, and that's what God wants you to do right off, right? He wants to give you a home in heaven. He wants you to live this abundant life. But then the second question tonight is, are you proving God's will in your life, Christian? Am I proving God's will? Am I saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Right? And when I do what he wants me to do today, and then tomorrow I say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And he shows me what he wants me to do today. I find myself living that abundant life. It's amazing, is it not? What Christ wants to do for us. And then lastly, are you sharing the abundant life with others? Right? God wants us to share this abundant life, and it should be portrayed in our lives. Other people should see the joy of the Lord in my life. You should see the joy of the Lord in your life, and people should say, what's up with that? Right? We're a walking advertisement for the Lord is what we should be, and God wants us to live the abundant life. Are you living it this evening? Are you living the abundant life for the Lord? Father, I thank you so much that you have given us this abundant life. Lord, you've promised to, like a shepherd, lead us, Lord, anywhere, and Father, I pray that you'd help me to follow after you. Lord, help my face, my actions, Lord, everything about me to portray just the abundant life that you have given me. Lord, help me to be excited about it. Help me not to get bogged down in the things of the world, but to just serve you with all of our might this evening. And Lord, would you use us throughout this week? Help us to just follow after you. And we'll thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.